Dear brothers and sisters, in the intimate encounter between Jesus and the Canaanite woman, we see a beautiful revelation of the power of faith, as well as a prefigurement of the church in all its universality. The meeting is noble, first of all, because of the circumstances in which it took place. At this point in his public ministry, Jesus needs a vacation. From a human point of view, the Lord was tired. The Lord was tired. And things were not going well. He had just chastised some scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem, calling them hypocrites for using the law as a way or as a reason, a pretext, not to perform works of charity. And the tension between Jesus and the religious rulers had become acute. Earlier in the Gospel, St. Matthew reported that the Pharisees were taking counsel to destroy Jesus. Throughout his ministry, even though vast crowds would come to see him, it seems only a minority of Jews put their faith in him. So what does Jesus do? He decides to go on vacation. He and his disciples leave Galilee and journey into Phoenicia near the Mediterranean coast. They were outside the territory of Herod Antipas, who had beheaded St. John the Baptist. And they were safe from the persecution of the Jewish authorities. And we can imagine the Lord's disappointment at the response he received from the Jewish leaders, who should have recognized him. Certainly he understood why. He, of course, was not the political Messiah that they were expecting. Yet understanding why did not diminish the disappointment or perhaps the bitterness Christ felt at their lack of faith. And then comes a determined Canaanite woman, a pagan, or at least a Gentile, beseeching Jesus that he exorcise a demon from her daughter. Somehow she had heard of the remarkable Jesus of Nazareth and discovered where he was staying. Notice her persistence. She would not be denied. She wasn't taking no for an answer. She recognized what most Jews did not. And this is what makes her memorable. This is why this episode was recalled in the Gospels. She called Jesus Lord and Son of David. She recognized him as the Messiah. His own people were against him. And this pagan woman recognized him. And he tests her faith. He seemingly tries to put her off. He tells her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And when she persists, he makes a distinction in the wonderful phrase, which seems hard on our ears in English. "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." The word used in Greek, the original word in Greek, has a sense of puppy, a pet. So her response was striking. It is full of absolute trust. "Please, Lord, for even the dogs, even the puppies, even the pets eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." The woman recognized that whatever Jesus agreed to do would be enough because she trusted in his love and mercy. She loved her daughter, yes, very clearly, that's unmistakable. But more importantly, she believed in Jesus. Imagine what Jesus felt when he heard her words. This is the faith he was looking for among his own people. She won his heart. "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," Jesus said. And this was true up to a point. The Messiah came from the Jews, the chosen people. We all know that. Yet time and again, Jesus would say and do things which pointed to God's universal salvation. At various times, he performed miracles for Gentiles, even feeding 4,000 people in pagan territory east of the Sea of Galilee. And in his preaching, he said, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." And on another occasion, Jesus said, "Many will come from the east and the west, and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven." Thus, we also see in the encounter with the Canaanite woman a foreshadowing of the Catholic Church. In his eternal plan, God, beginning with the chosen people, would manifest himself as the saving God of all people. Christ would establish the kingdom of God, a universal kingdom, which would fulfill the ancient prophecies, the ancient oracles, such as the one in our first reading. The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, ministering to him, loving the name of the Lord, and becoming his servants, them I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. It was for this very reason, that is, to bring salvation to all men, that Christ gave the apostles the so-called Great Commission, which we read about at the end of St. Matthew's Gospel. "Go, therefore," Jesus said to them, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Dear brothers and sisters, you and I are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom is already present now, even as we await its full realization in heaven. We are members of the kingdom of God by God's free gift, his gift of love. But do you and I, this is the key question, do you and I have the faith of the Canaanite woman? Do we have that kind of faith which wins Christ's heart? Do we have persistent faith, a faith that is constant, in which we put our complete trust in the Lord and in his providence? When we pray to the Lord, do we believe that whatever Jesus agrees to do will be enough? And more to the point, enough for me, because I trust in his love and mercy. If not in God, in whom or in what do I place my security? Or in other words, what is holding me back from trusting in the Lord? Do I have doubts that God loves me personally? You know, many people do. It's incredible when they do those surveys. And people ask, you know, do you have a personal relationship with God? Or even better, do you believe that a personal relationship with God is possible? Some will say no. How sad. How sad to go through life thinking that a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is impossible. If I believe in his love, then how am I returning that love? What are the concrete ways in which day in and day out I show my love for God? And secondly, as we've already said, the kingdom of God is a universal kingdom. All are called to belong to this kingdom, Jews and Gentiles. Christ died for all because he loved all. So what about me? Do I love all men? Do I act for the good of all? Or do I make distinctions in my life? Do I set up barriers between myself and certain other people, people of another culture, people with whom I disagree, people who have hurt me, People who are needy and might ask something of me. The disciples in today's gospel did this. Notice once again, just like they did at the feeding of the 5,000, right? Notice they didn't act to facilitate the woman's encounter with Jesus. They told her to send her away. What about me? Am I a bridge to Jesus? In my personal relationships, does the life of Christ that is in me shine through? And my friends, we must all let this light shine. We must all work for the kingdom of God, the church. Everyone, each individual person, has an important contribution to make in God's work of salvation. And it begins with faith. Let us, during this Holy Mass, then, my friends, pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen our faith in Jesus. May we get to know him better every day through personal prayer and the reading of Scripture. May the Word of God captivate our hearts so that we trust him completely and recognize him for what he truly is, the Son of David, the Lord.